This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers Marvel Phase 4 special. We've got a very special... I said this last week, Tom. I said, I'm not going to go into too much detail about what Marvel have planned for Phase 4 because you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's just wait for you to get back and then you'll have everything.
Yeah, I got thoughts.
And you've got it all.
Yep.
So as well as what's coming up, you've also done a bit of watching.
I did a little bit. Oh, look, we'll knock that out first. Endgame, Avengers Endgame is available on digital release now.
Which I think is phenomenal because it's still in some theatres.
I saw it a week and a half ago in Hollywood.
It's crazy.
Really weird. But yeah, so it comes out physical release in a couple of weeks. But I just thought I'd give a quick breakdown on whether it's worth it or not. Mm. Now, I haven't watched it with the director's commentary yet.
It's always a good listen. Well, not always.
Not always.
I would imagine that this one will be.
I generally find any commentary that involves Ben Stiller is a good commentary because they generally get drunk and yell at the producers and it goes off the rails. Anyway, so some highlights from this. I got it through iTunes and they have a special feature called a Secret Scripts. I think it was something Secret Script or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about how in the effort to preserve surprises for the audience and stuff like that, they do generate fake scripts. And so the real scripts are generally referred to as Code Red. The fake ones are called Code Blue.
Okay.
And so what they did is using some of the footage from the film and then animating other bits, they actually animated some of these Code Blue pages.
So the Code Blue pages that they were showing, were they like bits that were end of movie or were they sort of mid?
They were all character death related.
Ah, okay.
So it was, you know, Loki escaping or Gamora shaking it off or... Very, very casual about all of them, but yeah, a good way to preserve the surprise.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it was nice to see a bit of that. There's a great feature on Bro Thor, as they call him. It's basically Hemsworth putting on a fat suit and laughing.
Yeah.
That was a good laugh. There's a Stan Lee tribute that was quite touching.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. And then some really good features on Robert Downey Jr. and his all around initially casting him of how risky a prospect that was at the time.
Yeah, he was a person that had been through a lot of things.
That's right.
Mm.
Another one on Cap and his journey through the films and then Black Widow as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Well, those are arguably the biggest characters in that movie,
yes.
Endgame, in that their story arcs are very important.
Correct. And then some deleted scenes. I won't go into all of them. They're all very short and don't add too much. There is one scene that does add a little bit, which is after a very important character death, several other heroes then take a knee. In the context is kind of cool, but in the actual film doubles down on the funeral scene that comes straight afterwards, so it wasn't needed. However, there is one shot in that of all the heroes kneeling and one hero who had died in Infinity War and was somehow back in this one, not related to the snap, who snuck off.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know who I'm talking about. So I'm dancing around that one just because that's a big storyline for later.
Yeah.
And they clearly taken it out of the film to address that in Guardians 3.
Okay.
The other one that made me laugh quite a bit was when they've got the scenes sitting around talking about where the stones are in past and they could go back to find them.
Yep.
Rocket Raccoon laughs his head off at everybody when they're watching footage of the Battle of New York, which is the event of Avengers 1.
Yes.
Where the alien army comes to New York to bash them up.
Yeah.
And Rocket's laughing at them and he's like, what's wrong with you people? These are the worst aliens in all of space. Everyone knows how to beat them. You just take out their mothership. And someone's like, we didn't know that at the time. We didn't know anything about a mothership. And Tony Stark has clearly had enough of Rocket at this point because he walks up behind him with a razor and shaves a chunk out of the back of his head.
I can understand potentially why that wouldn't have hung around there because then they would have to have made sure that that was a thing the whole way through.
That's right. So it didn't really serve anything other than a good laugh.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
Yeah.
So there's a few of those. There's a really good one between War Machine and Captain America that kind of addresses some of the stuff that happened in the first Captain America movie and makes Cap look like a bit of an idiot.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
I read an article, and when I say article, I mean headline, the amount of scenes that existed in the movie, which were a lot, it was like 90%, if not more, that involved some sort of CGI in them.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that, because you just watch the movie just enjoying the story and whatnot, not realizing.
There's what part of the featurette in Iron Man, when they're talking about Iron Man's journey through it, they show some stuff back in the 70s, and it's very interesting to see the way that just how much they had to composite everything together because those sorts of sets don't exist anymore.
Absolutely.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Closing the book on Endgame and basically closing out Phase 3, Spider-Man Far From Home notwithstanding, great movie, San Diego Comic-Con, they revealed everything that's happening for Phase 4, which incidentally is only 2 years long.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is very short compared to the other phases they've had. They've generally been around 3 years. Maybe four mark.
So how many movies will we potentially be getting? Because I know that when they announced Phase 3, they sort of showed when things or what would be in there, and things did end up getting switched around a little bit.
Yes, a few little changes here and there. Look, I would say that this is pretty locked down. And the big switch here that we need to talk about straight off the bat, and we have talked about Disney Plus or whatever you want to call it. I think it's called Disney Plus.
I think it is.
We've talked about it a lot. In that it very much looks like Marvel have moved to the model of watch the stuff on Disney Plus because it will tie into the films.
Okay.
And in the past they've been like, oh yes, you should watch the Netflix Marvel shows because it's all interconnected and stuff. They have been run by a different division. Marvel TV and Marvel movies are completely different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was bad blood back in the day between Kevin Feige and the people running the TV division and this sort of stuff. So they didn't connect nearly as much as they potentially could have.
Yeah, right.
Whereas the 10 properties that we're going to talk about today, five of them are films, four in cinema, five of them are TV series for Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few here that will clearly tie into the next ones. So there's one coming in the middle of spring 2021 that will tie directly into a movie that comes out about a month later.
Okay.
This sort of stuff.
So, you got to get through it then. Like, don't muck around.
That's right. Well, look, they're spread out a little bit differently and we've got the rest of the year off this year, which is a big deal. Everyone was kind of expecting maybe they'd have a surprise announcement for November or something like that.
Yeah.
First cab off the rank is Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
That's May 1st next year, 2020. That has already been filming. We know David Harbour is involved. Mm-hmm. I believe he's playing Red Guardian, who is a Russian superhero. They've revealed that there will be several characters with the name Black Widow in the film, which suggests that we're going to flash back a little bit to her time in Russia where she was in that weird red room being trained as a ballerina assassin. And there were several other girls being trained there as well.
Yep.
We know from the comics that there's been several other Black Widow characters that sort of take up that mantle. It's kind of like being known as Russia's best assassin.
Yeah, right.
Florence Pugh is in it. There's a whole bunch. There's a lot of potential. One of the things I'm very excited about is from some of the footage that, you know, people have taken photos of set footage and stuff like that. There's a costume that no one can quite pinpoint exactly who this person is yet. And they actually talked at Comic-Con about that costume that we shouldn't assume anything as to who it is. Now, there's a lot of theories going around that it may be a character called Taskmaster, which I really hope is the case. He's a very blue-collar, just average Joe kind of guy, not interested in being a hero or anything like that. He has photographic reflexes, which means anything he sees, he can reproduce. So this dude sits...
Handy.
Very handy. This dude sits around watching footage of superheroes in battle, learning their moves. So he can't do all the big things, but, you know...
It's like Neo. I know Kung Fu.
Very much so. He's a serious contender to take down a Captain America or a Spider-Man or something. As long as someone doesn't have energy weapons or projectiles or something like that, then he can pretty much...
So he's a bad guy.
Well, He straddles the line.
Okay.
So he has been a out-and-out villain way back in the past. Well, not even quite that. He quite often will work for supervillains training henchmen.
Oh,
this is what I mean by he's a real blue-collar guy. Like, yeah. He's worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. in the past, training agents.
Yeah.
He works for AIM or HYDRA or these different villainous whoever will pay the most, basically.
Mm, okay.
And he's been shown to have a conscience and not kill anyone if the money wasn't right, this sort of stuff. So he does sway between both things. I would really love it if he is set up as a villain and then perhaps turns to the side of the angels to come back in later. Mm. Especially because if we head to a storyline, there's a storyline called Dark Reign. So Civil War happens, Captain America, Iron Man against each other, splits the hero community down the middle. Then Secret Invasion happens with the Skrulls, the shape changes, mm-hmm. they come to Earth. And at the end of that, so many people have lost faith in the heroes that a new heroic team rises and takes over, and, you know, the Avengers have a bad name, so the Dark Avengers are formed. The public doesn't know, but these are all villains put in the costumes of heroes.
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice storyline.
Taskmaster is perfect for that team.
Yeah, of course.
Because you can dress him up as anyone and he can copy their moves.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited. If I want that to be a thing.
I really hope so too.
Yeah.
So that'll be in May. Now, it's only the films, really, that we have an actual date for. The other ones are just in a rough period. So the next one following Black Widow will be a TV show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Now, spoilers, of course. If you've come this far into the episode and you're still listening and you haven't seen Endgame, I'm questioning things. But at the end of Endgame, we saw that there's a new Captain America.
Yep. And we saw them walk on stage at Comic-Con.
Yes.
Both of them.
So it's going to be a big deal. In the comics, both Bucky, or Winter Soldier, and Falcon have been Captain America.
Mm-hmm. That explains why they were passing the shield back and forth on stage.
While I would love for it to be Bucky, there's way too much baggage for his character in the movies to be considered a hero at any time. And also we get to make some cool political statements with having an African-American Captain America. There's a whole bunch of theories as to what this show will be. I believe it's going to be 6 to 8 episodes. They've announced that Daniel Brühl, who was the bad guy from Civil War, mm-hmm. is going to be in it. Mm-hmm. You may not remember him. He was just an average guy who was manipulating the Avengers against each other for what had happened during Avengers 2. His character in the comics is horribly scarred and wears a purple balaclava over his face.
Does he know Deadpool?
Are they mates? No, they've knocked about. But there was a very brief video shown of him basically saying that he's back and pulling on a purple balaclava.
Ah, nice.
So everyone went nuts
for that. That's really cool.
I imagine the storyline may involve the US government not being particularly happy with Captain America choosing who takes over rather than them.
Okay, yep.
I could very much see them. There's a story, which I want to say late 80s, involving Cap became known as Nomad. He wasn't interested in working for the government anymore. They forcibly took the shield from him and gave it to a new character called US Agent.
Hmm.
Or US Agent.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
Who was a, we'll say, more unhinged version of Captain America. Maybe a little more interested in Punisher-style tactics.
I see.
Kill them all.
Yeah, right.
So I could see them going down that route. This, again, by having Baron Zemo, the purple balaclava guy, could be setting things up for a supervillain team. He has led the Masters of Evil. He's also led the Thunderbolts, who are another team of villains masquerading as heroes. But they ended up becoming heroic. They booted him from the team and decided, no, this is better. Let's be good guys.
We want to be good.
Yes.
I do. I can see that being a really nice way to kick off a new phase by having seemingly the bad guys ganging up, becoming potentially more powerful than the good guys as they're kind of reshuffling and organizing themselves, and then having the good guys on the back foot.
I want phase 5, or like an entire phase, to be taken over by the villains.
Yeah.
Because they're slowly getting enough great villains, and then there's others that were okay that didn't die that they could bring back in. Mm. So you've got the Abomination from Hulk. He didn't die. He's been locked up somewhere. He's a villainous Hulk. There you go. Fills the role. I want I just want a movie where Taskmaster pretends to be Daredevil or Spider-Man or something for an entire film.
Would it be good if the audience knew or if the audience had no idea as well?
I think it's better if the audience knows because then so we're sitting there waiting for the penny to drop.
Yeah.
So that's how it's always been with these villains posing as heroes team. By the end of the first issue, we understand who they really are.
Yeah.
But the audience doesn't.
Yeah, right.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Ah, they're so... All right, so we've ticked off a few of them.
So that's two of them.
Yeah.
Next we move into The Eternals.
Okay.
Which is coming later in the year. Now, we don't know tons about The Eternals of how they'll be fitting into the universe, but they have the potential to be a cosmic family, less rough edges version of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. So potentially less jokey.
Yes.
Like a little more serious.
Well, I don't know. There will be characters that are very jokey. Kumail Nanjiani from
of course.
Silicon Valley, he's one of the main characters.
Yep.
Then you've also got like Salma Hayek.
But
and
I mean,
Angelina
you're asking
Jolie.
Angelina Jolie to tell jokes.
Well, she won't be.
No.
So she's playing Cersei, who is the queen.
Of course.
Okay,
right.
So they are a regal royal family from space.
Yeah.
But they're also, a lot of them are potentially the inspiration for a lot of the mythological figures from our past.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm really
excited. That's really cool.
There's a guy, I can't remember his Korean name, but Don Lee is the name he's taken for America. He was in Train to Busan. He's fantastic, and he'll be playing a character known as Gilgamesh, who, of course, has appeared in different mythology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when this will be set because it could potentially involve Thanos.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I'm talking about. These are cosmic beings,
yeah,
big, big figures that have been around a long, long
time. But I guess also there's no rules in Marvel, and they showed it definitely in Endgame, where they have to stick to a timeline. Like, they can jump back as far as they want.
I expect that this film will establish more about where the Infinity Stones originally came from.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think this has got a chance to skip through like cosmic history.
Yeah, that'd
be
really
good. Some
really
cool stuff.
So, Selma Hayek and Angelina Jolie, do we know much about them? Are they sisters? Are they royal sisters? Because they're around the same age.
I don't think they're biological sisters, but they're still family unit.
Did you hear the applause that Selma Hayek got?
First Latino female superhero.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this film has rocked a few boats with people that are like, I don't want PC superheroes. There's too much diversity. And I say, fuck off. They're a galactic family.
Yeah, that's right. They're not from
human.
Here.
None of them are human in any way. So,
and these, I was thinking about this the other day I'm sure you'll be talking about this a little bit later on, when they announced somebody coming back. And I was like, there are so many Academy Award winners who are in Marvel movies now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ridiculous amount. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great for us. Like, there's no downside.
And it's very validating.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I remember when it was a big deal that Alfred Molina was in Spider-Man 2. I was like, oh, that's a very authentic actor.
How did they get him?
Yes. So that will be November 6th, 2020. Then we jump forward to February 12th, 2021 with Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, people were hyped about this. And they were hyped about the casting too.
Yes. So Shang-Chi is going to be played by a guy named Simu Liu. He isn't super well known, but about 8 months ago tweeted Marvel, like, hey, Marvel, when are we going to talk Shang-Chi? And he auditioned for the role on the Tuesday and they trotted him out at San Diego Comic-Con on the Saturday.
These things you never expect will happen in real life and it just happened.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's pretty insane. And they've also announced, I think it was, Tony Leung will be playing the Mandarin. Now, if that name sounds familiar, that's because in Iron Man 3, Ben Kingsley plays a character called the Mandarin, who is a terrorist threatening the world.
Mm.
And we learn throughout the course of the film that he is just a figurehead and he's actually an actor and they've created this role. And there have been plenty of clues through other films that there's a real Mandarin out there. So this is a big deal. He's got 10 rings. each of those
to rings. Rule them all.
Well, they all control different things. They're not too dissimilar to your Infinity Stones.
I was going
to
ask.
A lot more human and spiritual.
Oh, cool.
Yes, so he'll be messing with some realms.
I could imagine he would be going head to head with Doctor Strange and those guys.
Yeah, Mandarin spends his time basically fighting either Shang-Chi in 70s comics or Iron Man in the 60s comics. They are clearly going to revamp the character because he's a bad Oriental.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
Hold over from the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
But yes, Awkwafina is going to be in it as well. And
she's in everything.
Yeah. This is the potential to be the Asian version of Black Panther. It's clearly where they're positioning for the Asian market.
Yeah, cool.
I'm so on board.
Yeah.
Hardcore martial arts with a guy who is basically better than Bruce Lee.
What if Jackie Chan starts tweeting, "Hey Marvel, I'm ready to play the father"?
Nah.
You don't think he'd be interested?
Well, it's not her.
Or is he a bit too Jackie Chan?
He's too Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
This is a very serious character.
Okay.
He's all about Zen and no nonsense. So I imagine that's why they've got an Awkwafina to have some comedy around him.
Yeah, yeah.
He will not be making jokes.
Okay, right. All right.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Following from that, now this is where I was talking about of the TV shows starting to bleed into the films. So this is very exciting. We've heard a lot about WandaVision before. When I say a lot, bits and pieces, but it should have a 50s sitcom aesthetic at points. Now, when we last saw Wanda in Endgame,
By the way, Scarlet Witch. I always think about Wanda as in Wanda Sykes.
Fair.
So when I hear WandaVision, I just think of her, like her face.
She gets LASIK.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So when we last saw her in Infinity War, she had suffered a terrible loss when Vision died in her arms, and he did not come back during the events of Endgame. Now, going into things, we kind of expected there's a Wanda, like Scarlet Witch has gone nuts a lot of times.
This could be the catalyst for a
I think we're going to be seeing some insanity here, because in the past when she's gone through very dramatic trauma, her reality bending powers have accidentally done things that she's not quite aware of. So at one point she accidentally created a pair of children for herself.
it's like we're talking about The Sims or something.
I know, which is what everyone kind of suspected this might be about when they were saying that it's going to be a 50s sitcom aesthetic. But I think it's more likely that she's going to unintentionally bring Vision back without the Soul Stone in him, and he's going to be wrong. And it will be whether she can teach a robot to love.
Wow.
Which would be a beautiful storyline. However, whatever happens with that, a few weeks later is Doctor Strange 2, and it's called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Ooh.
And they have already confirmed that Scarlet Witch is going to be a main character in that film with him.
Nice.
So if she has this mental breakdown and creates a vision, she has gone further in the past. At one point, she, in a fit of rage, says, "No more mutants." And the X-Men are just no more.
Oh, okay.
Basically, at that point, there were a couple of million mutants running around the Earth.
Yeah, right.
She says those words and it's instantly reduced to, I think, 162.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. They don't breed anymore. There's no more mutants made.
Huh.
That was a thing. So I can see that the storyline in the TV show, it won't be a no more mutants, but I can see her making a huge declarative statement at the end that then leads into what will happen with Doctor Strange 2 and the Multiverse of Madness. It's also a very interesting title of the Multiverse of Madness, because the multiverse was discussed in Doctor Strange 1 and in Endgame. But then we just had Spider-Man Far From Home with Mysterio claiming to be from the multiverse.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are confused as to whether the multiverse is a thing or not. I guarantee it is, and I think we're going to see some really weird stuff, and this is a good opportunity for them to start showing us some what-if situations.
Which is something that... Oh, you spoke about this.
So what if... We'll jump one TV show.
Okay.
So we've got Doctor Strange, then Loki,
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think we need to go into Loki too much. If you saw Endgame, you saw him pick up the Tesseract, he's going to be skipping through time causing mischief.
Yeah.
Straight after that is What If.
So this is the one that I'm most intrigued about.
Me too. It's an animated series, and this is the one that they showed a cast listing for, and they've got 22 Academy Award winners. Not nominees,
ridiculous.
Winners. So anyone that's played anyone in the films is coming
back. They're signed up, yeah.
And Jeffrey Wright from Westworld is going to be playing the Watcher, who's kind of the narrator, and he stands by passively observing and recording these stories. Great casting.
Also,
they've announced that the very first of those shows will be What If Peggy Carter Got Given the Super Soldier Serum Instead of Captain America. I can see them going all out with some, frankly, bugfuck weird stories. There's some great things they can pull from, and they can also really test the waters for some characters they think have potential and see what the interest is like.
Do you think in the What If series, the What If episodes will be one-offs?
Yes, they've already said
that's
they're
how
one,
they're doing
one
it?
And done.
Okay.
And that's the same in the comics. The What If started back in the 60s, and it was just a chance for creators to jam on ideas that had already been published of what's a different take.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I could see some really cool stuff coming out of that.
Sounds awesome.
What If is where the idea of Marvel Zombies came from.
Which,
I'm telling you now, one of the What Ifs, if they don't have a Multiverse of Madness scene where they end up on a zombie planet or a zombie universe, one of the What Ifs will be, what if the zombie virus only attacked superhumans? Because it's such a great storyline.
Such a great storyline.
And I want the visual of just Iron Man's torso and half his head floating around with his guts hanging out, because that's how he's drawn in the comics. And
brilliant.
The Hulk is always so hungry that they convince him to rip his own stomach open, and so he can just keep eating his own innards. They fall in. He grabs
them. Oh, he just keeps going.
So he can just keep shoveling himself back in.
Yeah. It's like the magic pudding.
Yeah.
Just whatever he wants. Just eats it.
Spider-Man ends up with horribly broken legs that he has to web together constantly.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because anytime they eat, they get smart again. Their humanity comes back. Not long, but long enough for Spider-Man to realize what he's done and cry. So this zombie Spider-Man flicks between like ravishingly devouring brains or crying over killing Aunt May and Mary Jane.
Oh, no.
It's fantastic.
He can't function.
No. So I think that series has a lot of potential. Just in terms of one and done, sit down and watch an episode, have a laugh and move
animated on. Too really intrigues me. Yep. I reckon that's going to work really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if they give different styles.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes. Mm. It's a great opportunity for bringing in some characters that people might not expect. Like, I would love to see Howard the Duck in there somewhere.
Oh, you've spoken about him.
He's popped up in the background of movies and stuff, and
it's time
he deserves
for him.
A go.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Following up on What If is another show, Hawkeye. Now, we don't know too much about this
We
yet.
Definitely know it's not Hawkeye from MASH, though.
No, we do know that, 100%. Yeah. It's got Jeremy Renner back. It's got a young lady playing Kate Bishop, who is the second Hawkeye in the comics, who is Hawkeye. Renner's character would never admit it, but she's a better archer than he is. They're very competitive with one another, but it turns into a very loving mentee type relationship.
What about his family? Do we know?
I imagine that his family will still be involved.
Yeah.
They haven't announced any of that sort of stuff yet. It kind of depends where it ties in. There's a fantastic comic series of just called Hawkeye that was, I want to say, around 2008. Might be even a little bit later. But it suggests that, basically Hawkeye moves into an apartment block. He's down on his luck. He moves into an apartment block. He starts getting along with everyone there. He finds a dog in the street that comes to live in his place called Lucky the Pizza Dog that just likes to eat pizza. The main bad guys are a bunch of Russian mobsters who are shaking down the building and trying to get everyone to pay protection money. They say bro way too much. And the best part of all is one of his neighbors that he fries, he operates a barbecue grill every night and will feed Hawkeye when he gets home, insists on calling him Hawk Guy. So now everyone,
he's Hawk Guy.
Everyone calls him Hawk Guy, and it's great. If they can go that route of just, it's really low key and it's not super heroics. It's how does the guy with a bow and arrow mentally deal with his days off when he's not saving the universe?
Yeah.
And it plays really, really well.
Yeah.
The other part that I'm surprised they haven't included in the movies yet somehow, but in the comics, Hawkeye's deaf and he has cochlear implants.
Yeah, right.
And that becomes a really big element of this story. And in one issue, his implants are damaged, they're broken, he can't hear anything, and the entire issue is told through sign language.
Oh, that's awesome.
So whether or not you understand sign language, you can still visually follow what's happening.
That's so, so clever.
Imagine a ballsy episode where one episode, his hearing is gone, and you spend an entire hour in silence dealing with him.
I feel like now we're starting to get into that movie with Emily Blunt.
Oh yeah, Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Well, they also flip it later, and they have an entire issue from the dog's perspective.
Oh, nice.
And the dog
mainly about pizza.
Well, it's a lot about pizza, but the dog hears in pictograms. So it's almost like reading hieroglyphics of he'll pick up, so there'll be words of, he understands good boy, sit, you know, the commands that he's been trained, and various words like pizza, or he's learned bro from being around these mobsters so much. But the rest of it's all told through pictogram.
So
it's
cool.
It's really, really clever. So I'm hoping there's a bit of that included in this Hawkeye series because I don't need to see a bow and arrow show. We've got Arrow.
Mm.
Do something different with it. I think that's a lot of potential. And then we've kept the big one for last.
Huge one.
Thor 4, Love and Thunder, filming in Sydney, Australia.
Da, 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 da.
So that's November 5th or something, 2021.
Okay.
We've got still quite a while away.
Yeah.
They'll be filming here, I imagine, early next year. They can't.
Who are we getting?
So we've definitely got Hemsworth back, which will be interesting to see because Guardians 3 is going to be after this and Endgame had him on the ship with them. So it wouldn't surprise me if later when Guardians 3 actually happens, the very first scene is Star-Lord choosing to leave Thor behind on some planet or something, just ditching
can't
him.
Be taking it.
No.
They were not friends.
Yep. Then we've got Valkyrie is back, Tessa Thompson.
Awesome.
She's still Queen of Asgard. Mm-hmm. She's already said that she'll be out to find her queen.
Uh-huh, yeah, nice.
And Jamie Alexander, who played Sif in the first two Thor movies, has already put her hand up and said, I'll come be the queen.
Oh, great.
And Natalie Portman is back, which is a big deal because everyone...
Confused people, didn't it?
Yeah, everyone thought there was a bit of bad blood.
Yeah.
But it seems that that might be with some previous directors and people she worked with directly rather than the wider team.
Mm.
And she is going to be playing the new Thor.
You know what surprised me about this?
What's that?
There weren't as many people going crazy about, Thor can't be a girl, it's not fair. I mean, there were some of those, but in general, people were like, I thought she didn't like. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Well, look, everyone's on board with female Thor because Thor's been a woman in the comics a bunch. Mm. And like Jane Foster, her character was Thor for about 3 years. There's a big storyline where Thor becomes known as the Unworthy because he can no longer pick the hammer.
Mm.
Someone reminds him of a secret from his past that instantly caves his self-confidence and he can't pick up the hammer for about 6 years. And she picks up Mjolnir and is granted the power of Thor. It changes her physiology and makes her big and burly and stuff. So don't panic. I imagine it's going to be someone different playing Thor.
Natalie Portman is...
with her face CGI'd
on. I just cannot see her... getting like Lucy Lawless.
Sure, I don't think she's just very small. Yeah, I don't think she'll get tanked up.
She promised it.
Well, look, she'll get more muscly.
Yeah,
but a big part, and I don't know if they'll do this, but a big part of the Jane Foster Thor storyline is that she's dying of cancer, and she's bedridden. And every time she picks up the hammer, she can go out there and fight. But every time she does that, it forcibly ejects the chemo out of her body.
Oh, wow.
So she's signing her own death warrant every time she flies out to be Thor.
Wow.
It's a heavy
That's
story.
Very heavy.
It's
Do you think they'll go with that?
I don't think so. I imagine there may be some element of that, and it's all tied in with this battle against cancer You know, battle for her soul, battle for her life, battle for the universe, everything, all kind of flows in together. I can see them using elements of it, but it got pretty damn heavy at points.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So I don't know if that will be the case.
Yeah.
I am stoked if Thor is cool with being the unworthy, because his whole trajectory to the end of Endgame was realizing that he needs to go and find his own purpose, not to do what everyone's always expected of him. Mm. So by not being Thor, that's a great thing.
That also gives him potential to keep harassing the Guardians.
That's right, or just go and do other stuff.
Yeah.
When he wasn't being Thor, he seemed happy.
He was really happy.
Yeah, but like even in the comics, the storyline, a lot of it that he goes down, becomes a better person.
Yeah, right.
By not being Thor.
Okay.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. A murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So much stuff.
That's 10 films or TV shows. As I said, I think Loki is going to tie to Thor 4.
Makes sense.
If we're going to skip through time and this sort of stuff, I imagine one of the things that Loki would love to do is to perhaps avert his murder.
One would, if you could.
However, the placement of Loki being straight after WandaVision and Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, considering it looks like he's going to be skipping through time, but maybe instead, because of what we learned in Endgame, he's not actually skipping through time. He's skipping through our timeline, but creating multiple multiverse branches.
So he's copied and he's just paste.
So maybe instead there's going to be 10 Lokis that come back together.
That's doing my head in.
An army of Lokis.
No. As a TV series, yeah.
I could. It'd
work better
happening.
Than a movie, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Like more chance of a story.
Maybe, just maybe, there's the chance that he would skip across to the universe that Peter Porker or Spider-Ham comes from and hangs out with some anthropomorphic animals.
I like that.
In that universe, he's known as Cat Loki, and he's Loki with a cat head. Even if it's just a 5-second gag of him falls into that universe, has a cat head and moves on, there will be a lot of very happy fanboys. People are obsessed with cat head Loki.
Oh, it's so random.
Yep.
And Tom Hiddleston's, like, that was known a while ago.
Yeah, everyone's known for a while that he'd come back for that. But it's very impressive the caliber of people they've got involved in these shows.
I have to keep questioning. Yeah. 22 Academy Award winners will be in that animated What If.
Yeah, and that's
crazy.
I hope that show is real silly. Like, some of it be dreary, some of it be horrific, whatever, but just have a few really silly episodes.
Random hilarity.
Just bust out. Like, if ever there was a place to do Dazzler, Dazzler is that. Dazzler's from the X-Men in the late 70s. They wanted a character that would be like Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, okay.
And so she's a pop star who converts
it's
sound.
Gem.
Yeah, it's Gem. She converts sound into light and, like, makes fireworks and stuff. It's so
while singing Xanadu.
Yeah. Everyone, like, Dazzler has great potential. If you lock down, like, Katy Perry or even more, Lady Gaga.
Academy Award
nominee. You get someone of that caliber, then it's a really impressive show. On the flip side, dig up a late 90s pop star. Like, I'm talking your Jennifer Page with Crush.
Oh.
Like a really deep
vitamin
cut.
Vitamin C.
A one-hit wonder, one-off pop star, and trot them out as a washed-up superhero. You've got elements of Jessica Jones mixed with a Katy Perry. There's a lot of... This is what I mean. The what-if potential is mind-boggling. So while I'm excited about all those shows and movies and how they can all fit together, I feel that what-if is going to have a few... touch of the nose towards his what could be coming. Pay attention.
Yes. Yeah, you get the clues in there.
We've just shown you an episode of what happened to an Earth with an animated Earth with zombie virus. What if the episode ends with someone finding a portal that Doctor Strange has left behind during the movie and is able to cross through? Do you know what I mean? Like, this is how potentially interconnected this stuff will be.
They're going to need a Rick Grimes.
I think it's a fantastic move forward, having half the stuff on Disney Plus, half in the movies, because ticket sales are going down everywhere.
You need to have both.
That's right. It's going to drive people to go and sign up for this service. That's all good. But I think it's a fantastic advertisement for how storytelling can progress from here on out. Have the big event up on the big screen, but have just as bigger events happening on the small screen. I miss event television.
I miss when you had to be there
to watch this at that certain time.
Absolutely.
And there's certain things that happen, like The Boys dropped or Umbrella Academy or something, where you want to watch it as quickly as possible so you can talk with everyone else. Whereas this will be a watch it now or be spoiled.
Yeah. Particularly if you've got, you know, something that it's a 10-part series and the follow-up movie is coming out the next month. Like, you cannot savor that.
Here's what I want. I haven't said yet whether they're going to be dropping a series on the day or whether it will be weekly episodes.
I kind of hope it's a bit of both.
I hope it's a bit of both. Like, what if I want it to be a weekly thing?
Yeah. Because you want people to be able to take it in, talk about that episode with each other. That's a water cooler event.
But what I really want is, like, if WandaVision is coming out 6 weeks before Doctor Strange, I want the finale of that the night before Doctor Strange drops. So you just get that constant wave of story.
This is using streaming as a continuous bubble of publicity for the event movies.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
It's very, very clever. And, like, this, looking at that as a whole, you can understand why they wanted to close Phase 3 out so completely and take a breather. Because
they got a lot happening.
Well, they got a lot happening. And this is as big a dice roll as when they finished Iron Man 1 and Samuel L. Jackson came out and said, I'm forming the Avengers. Where we went, what? You're going to connect these separate... This is what they're doing again. And this is TV streaming and film blended. Check in with me in 2 years and let's see how it went.
You know it's in good hands. It's going to have gone amazingly well. And it's just setting the world up for this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they can because they're Marvel.
That's
and
right.
Disney.
Now, we'll keep everyone updated as we hear more news, of course. I will be trying to work all my connections to get down on that Thor set.
Ooh.
I doubt I'll get on the set, but I'm sure we can hook up some coolness.
Yeah, or at least, you know, park in the car park next to it.
Yeah. Hey, Taika Waititi, give us a wave. Bit of that.
Tom, thank you very much.
Make mine Marvel.